If I could get everyone to take your study sheets and turn to them right now. The passage we're looking at this morning is from John chapter 11. It is a resurrection story, but it is not the resurrection of Jesus. It is the resurrection of Lazarus, and we're going to tie in with the concept this morning that Jesus has the power of life over death and how he set the stage for his own resurrection. But let's follow along as we read from the Word of God from the book of John chapter 11. It says this: Now a man named Lazarus was sick. He was from Bethany, the village of Mary and her sister Martha. This Mary, whose brother Lazarus now lay sick, was the same one who poured perfume on the Lord and wiped his feet with her hair. So the sisters sent word to Jesus, "Lord, the one you love is sick." When he heard this, he said, "The sickness will not end in death. No, it is for God's glory, so that God's Son may be glorified through it." Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. So when he heard that Lazarus was sick, he stayed where he was 2 more days. And then he said to his disciples, "Let's go back to Judea." "But Rabbi," they said, "a short while ago the Jews there tried to stone you. Are you going back?" Jesus answered, "Are there not 12 hours of daylight? Anyone who walks in the daytime will not stumble, for they will see by this world's light. It is when a person walks at night that they stumble, for they have no light." After he had said this, he went on to tell them, "Our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep, but I am going there to wake him up." His disciples replied, "Lord, if he sleeps, he will get better." Jesus had been speaking of his death, but his disciples thought he meant natural sleep. So then he told them plainly, "Lazarus is dead, and for your sake I'm glad I was not there, so that you may believe, but let us go to him." Then Thomas, also known as Didymus, said to the rest of the disciples, "Let us also go, that we may die with him." On his arrival, Jesus found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb for 4 days. Now, Bethany was less than 2 miles from Jerusalem, and many Jews had come to Martha and Mary to comfort them in the loss of their brother. When Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went out to meet him, but Mary stayed at home. "Lord," Martha said to Jesus, "if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But I know that even now, God will give you whatever you ask." Jesus said to her, "Your brother will rise again." Martha answered, "I know he will rise again in the resurrection at the last day." And Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me will live, even though they die. And whoever lives by believing in me will never die. Do you believe this?" "Yes, Lord," she replied. "I believe that you are the Messiah, the Son of God, who has come into the world." And after she had said this, she went back and called her sister Mary aside. "The teacher is here," she said, "and is asking for you." When Mary heard this, she got up quickly and went to him. Now Jesus had not yet entered the village, but was still at the place where Martha had met him. And when the Jews who had been with Mary in the house comforting her, noticed how quickly she got up and went out, they followed her, supposing she was going to the tomb to mourn there. When Mary reached the place where Jesus was and saw him, she fell at his feet and said, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." When Jesus saw her weeping, and the Jews who had come along with her also weeping, he was deeply moved in spirit and troubled. "Where have you laid him?" he asked. "Come and see, Lord," they replied. Jesus wept. Then the Jews said, "See how he loved him." But some of them said, "Could not he who opened the eyes of the blind men have kept this man from dying?" Jesus, once more deeply moved, came to the tomb. It was a cave with a stone laid across the entrance. "Take away the stone," he said. "But Lord," said Martha, the sister of the dead man, "by this time there is a bad odor, for he has been there 4 days." Then Jesus said, "Did I not tell you that if you believe, you will see the glory of God?" And so they took away the stone. And then Jesus looked up and said, "Father, I thank you that you have heard me. I knew that you always hear me. But I said this for the benefit of the people standing here, that they may believe that you sent me." When he said this, Jesus called in a loud voice, "Lazarus, come out!" And the dead man came out, his hands and feet wrapped with strips of linen and a cloth around his face. Jesus said to them, "Take off the grave clothes and let him go." Therefore, many of the Jews who had come to visit Mary had seen what Jesus did believed in him. But some of them went to the Pharisees and told them what Jesus had done. And then the chief priests and the Pharisees called a meeting of the Sanhedrin. "What are we accomplishing?" they asked. "Here is this man performing many signs. If we let him go on like this, everyone will believe in him. And then the Romans will come and take away both our temple and our nation." Then one of them, named Caiaphas, who was the high priest that year, spoke up. "You know nothing at all. You do not realize that it is better for you that one man die for the people than that the whole nation perish." He did not say this on his own, but as high priest that year, he prophesied that Jesus would die for the Jewish nation, and not only for that nation, but also for the scattered children of God, to bring them together and to make them one, so that from that day on, they plotted to take his life. What a powerful retelling of the story of what happened in that time. It's really interesting to see at the very end how the Jewish leaders, how scared they were of the effects of what Jesus would do. And they nailed it right on the head. Jesus had come to destroy the temple and its worship. Jesus had come to destroy the Jewish nation as being the people of God. He was creating something brand new. He was creating our bodies as the temple instead of a physical temple building. He was creating the entire church as the people of God instead of a nation of Israel. He was destroying the past, and they were correct on that. And they had reason to fear in the sense that it would bring about change. But they didn't have reason to fear in the sense that he was God himself and he was providing a way for everyone. The problem is they had not done their job. The Jewish people were to be the light of the world, to share the love of God to every single nation. But by and large, as you read through the Old Testament, all that they had done in their history was hold on to the promises of God and not be a light to the Gentiles at all. God knew this. He had a plan. And this isn't a putting down or raising up of any nation. I will bless Israel. I will bless that nation because God commands us to do that. They were the people through whom we've heard the message of Jesus Christ. So anytime I meet a blood-born Jewish person, I say, thank you. I tell them the story. One of the reasons of why we honor the Jewish nation as Christians. But we honor them for what God has done in the past through them, not through some kind of symbolic picture of this current nation or political stuff that goes on. People like to get into tirades and get into issues. We honor them because it was through the Jewish nation that Jesus Christ came and became a blessing to all nations. And because of that, we honor them. I don't know what brought you to church here this morning. I mean, why'd you come? You think about it. Oh, my family invited me, a friend invited me. There's all sorts of reasons why you can't come. Hopefully it's to learn about Jesus Christ and to learn to worship him, to worship the Lord. This is why we gather as church each week. But if you're here this morning and you have never experienced the power of unconditional love, a love that goes so beyond any kind of performance or expectation or anything you can do to gather anyone's attention, a love that is simply based upon a promise and a choice. If you've never experienced that kind of love because your love background is conditional or based upon, you know, how nice you looked or any of those things, then you have not experienced the love of God through Jesus Christ. And it is our goal as a church to proclaim this message so loud and clear wherever we go around the world, that Jesus Christ is the way to God and he is the way to experience the love that you're missing. This is the message of Easter. Jesus Christ came and he died on the cross for our sins, the righteous for the unrighteous. He laid in the tomb and raised from the dead and conquered death so that we might have an ability to attain eternal life, life everlasting. This is a promise and an offer. It is open to any nationality, any philosophy, any religious background. It does not exclude anyone. The Bible says that anyone who puts their faith in Jesus Christ will receive eternal life. What's it say? In John 11, we took a look about how Jesus has power over life and death. See verse 25 and 26 there of what we just read. Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me will live, even though they die. And whoever lives by believing in me will never die." "Do you believe this?" he asked her. That's the question he asked me. And then he asks each one of us today. Do you believe this? Because if there is no resurrection, if Jesus Christ did not rise from the dead, if the Bible was a lie, even though it's the most documented book ever produced up until the last 100 years, there's more verification of that document than anything else. If he did not do what he said he did, if the Bible lied, then there is no reason that we should be taking time out on a Sunday morning and gathering and trying to live for based on some book that is full of lies. We actually believe this. Our nation was founded upon it. Right, and you go to Parliament and it says in Latin that he will have dominion from sea to sea to sea. Our nation was founded on the principles of Jesus Christ as Lord. Right, inscribed as you walk in under the Peace Tower. Our nation has the inscription that this nation will be a nation not just under God, under Jesus Christ. Under Jesus Christ. Our calendar, we still base things like Christmas, Easter, all these things. It's not on the Easter bunny and it's not on trees and presents. It's based on Jesus Christ, our calendar. Our date system, it is 2016. It was so great when I get to spend time with the junior high kids and say, why is it 2016? And tell them that the date is actually in the year of our Lord, 2016. Our calendar system is actually based upon Jesus Christ. That is why we picked that date. That is why we have 2016. He is the most influential person in history, and he's changing lives today. Keep following as I read the passage here. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, talking about the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ and how important it is. Because if it's not true, this is just a sham. Trust me, I could make money in a lot of other ways than taking a salary from a small local church. There are so many ways to go out and do it. I don't have to do this. God called me to this at a very young age. And he has provided so wonderfully and graciously for me. But let me tell you, as opposed to maybe some of the American TV preachers, there is not great money in ministry in Canada. It's not why you get into it, right? You do this because God calls you to. 1 Corinthians 15. But Christ has indeed been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. For since death came through a man, the resurrection of the dead also comes through a man. For as in Adam all die, so in Christ all will be made alive. But each in turn, Christ the first fruits, then when he comes, those who belong to him, then the end will come. And when he hands over the kingdom to God the Father, after he has destroyed all dominion, authority, and power, for he must reign until he has put all his enemies under his feet, and the last enemy to be destroyed is death. John 5, the last passage, 21 to verse 30. It says this, "For just as the Father raises the dead and gives them life, even so, the Son gives life to whom he is pleased to give it. Moreover, the Father judges no one, but has entrusted all judgment to the Son, that all may honor the Son, just as they honor the Father. Whoever does not honor the Son does not honor the Father who sent him. Very truly, I tell you, whoever hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life and will not be judged, but has crossed over from death to life. Very truly, I tell you, a time is coming and now has come when the dead will hear the voice of the Son of God, and those who hear him will live.
For as the Father has life in himself, so he has granted the Son also to have life in himself. And he has given him authority to judge because he is the Son of Man. Do not be amazed at this, for a time is coming when all who are in their graves will hear his voice and come out. Those who have done what is good will rise to live, and those who have done what is evil will rise to be condemned. By myself I can do nothing. I judge only as I hear, and my judgment is just, for I seek not to please myself, but him who sent me. This is the message of Jesus Christ. It is a message that is offensive to many. It is also a message of incredible, unconditional love because it is open to anyone who desires. No one is held back. The door is wide open to heaven. Wide open. The Bible teaches in those passages that we read that everyone will be resurrected. Phil Cann, years ago, he was an English evangelist, and he came over to Vancouver working for Youth for Christ, created a youth study that was a lot like the Alpha course that we've heard. Even our Prime Minister, Justin Trudeau, has taken the Christian Alpha course. And so Phil Cann created one that was designed for high school students. And it was amazing. The people, Phil's a producer, they dropped $500,000 into his hand and they said, go around the world and film what's needed to create a tool that students in junior high and high school can just simply put into their DVD players or however they want to view it and invite their friends and just begin talking about God. And he did that. Hundreds of thousands of young people around the world now have believed in Christ because of what Phil did. It's an amazing thing. But in this, and it's very junior high and high school-like, he was talking about all the things that we spend time doing as we live on this earth, in compared to thinking about our death and what's going to happen after our death, if anything. And he talks about the amount of time that we spend sleeping, the amount of time we spend eating, the amount of time we spend driving and in traffic, the amount of time we spend standing in line. And then he gets really gross and he says that we're going to spend, and if I remember correctly, it's something like 4 or 5 hours in our lifetime picking our nose. Then he makes the profound point that more people will spend time picking their nose than thinking about their eternity. That's a huge thing to ponder. Every one of us is going to pass away. I'm reading a book right now called Being Mortal. It's a great book written by some physicians in the States and talking about the process of death. And it's been really good about how we care for the elderly. And it's been a wonderful book to listen to. But the reminder that I have as I read this book is that we're all going to age at some point and pass away. I can't change that. But what happens in that process, how I live my life right now, and how I prepare for death, and how I prepare for the afterlife, is determined everything around the concept of Jesus Christ and his message. Everyone will be resurrected. Jesus said, some will be resurrected to life and some will be resurrected to death. Now, people say, well, it's not fair. How come he gets to dictate all these things? I can't go into all the answers today, but this much I can say, that it is available to everyone. No one is excluded. And so if you build a building and open a door wide open and put a giant sign over that door that says everyone is welcome and everyone that goes by can read that sign, it is still up to them whether they choose to go in or not. And so God opens the door to heaven. And he says that in that passage. He says he's pleased to give to anyone. Whoever hears my word, John 5, look at that, verse 24. Very truly I tell you, whoever hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life and will not be judged, but has crossed over from death into life. That is an amazing promise that is open for everyone. As you believe that Jesus Christ died for our sins, that he took our punishment on that cross, that he rose again and conquered death, it was crazy things that happened on Good Friday. The Bible talks about when Jesus Christ died, the thick temple curtain in the temple in Jerusalem, ripped from top to bottom. And now this wasn't some cloth. This was a 3-inch thick sewn leather wall. And it ripped from top to bottom. And that was the area that only the high priest could go into that area once a year after they had sacrificed all sorts of animals, because it was the Holy of Holy representing God's presence. And on the death of Jesus Christ, that curtain tore in two, representing that there is no more temple. And that the dwelling place of God is now with humanity and is available to anyone because Jesus became our high priest. He ended the dichotomy. He ended the barrier between God and humanity. That happened. What else happened? The Bible says that darkness fell over the whole area. That right in the midday, that there was darkness that suddenly came. It said a violent earthquake happened upon the death of Jesus Christ. It said that tombs broke open and all sorts of people who had been recently dead came up out of the dead, walked towards Jerusalem. They are not the walking dead. They are the walking living. And what did they do? They went into Jerusalem and they began to talk about what had happened. These people were buried. Now, in Middle Eastern culture, when someone dies, it's a big deal. They do a whole full-blown funeral, and they actually hire mourners for weeks. They pay them to go and mourn their death. And so you can imagine the paid mourners. You got to realize how it changed the economy. All these people being paid to mourn, and all these dead people are suddenly alive. Their job's over. It was a major ruckus within the city. 3 days later, he rises from the dead. All these things, a tomb is checked. They try and figure what's going on. The Bible then records that he appears to over 500 people. And then he floats off into heaven and says, the same way that I went away is the same way I'm coming back. Easter Sunday morning is about the power of resurrection. Jesus will be coming back after all of his enemies have been defeated. And what are his enemies? And it describes it there in that passage that we read in 1 Corinthians. Rebellious dominion. He's seen in the earth, and I've seen it. I've been to places like Rwanda, on the border of Haiti. Parts of Nairobi is one of the worst. The dumps that was in there was one of the worst concepts I've ever seen of living conditions and abuse of power. Jesus will end abusive dominion that sets itself up against life. He's going to destroy that. Abuse of authority, evil power, and the final thing he is going to destroy is death itself. That's awesome. I am waiting for the new heaven, for the new earth. I love this life. I love my family. I love everything about it. But it is nothing in comparison to what he is preparing in the future. In the meantime, we're learning to live as children of God, even in our frailness and our selfishness and all the kind of stuff that happens. That's the meantime. But I am looking forward to what he is producing in the future, because all those things that keep this world in handcuffs and in shackles will be destroyed. No more rape. No more abuse of children. No more sickness. No more pain. The ability to have politics that actually works, and there is no lies, and no gossip, and no putting one down to get ahead on someone else. There is a world that actually works. And these are the things that Jesus is in the process of destroying. And when they are destroyed and dead, he will return, and there will be the final judgment of all things. Christ provides a way for all people to have the resurrection life. He gives life to those who he is pleased to give it to. Belief for faith in his death, burial, and resurrection and reign will give each one of us the ability to have his gift of eternal life through the resurrection. And the question that Jesus asked to Mary and Martha is the question that he asks us today. He says, do you believe? You don't have to climb some mountain. You don't have to perform some ritualistic act to get God's attention. He just says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved. Wow. That moment I cross from death to life. I have the ability to receive the love of God in measures and ways that I was incapable of before. because there was a law, there was a spiritual code that was working against me. And Jesus created the ability to lift that off and to open the door so that anyone who enters in gets to receive everything that he is offering. Easter Sunday morning, an opportunity to talk about the resurrection power that is in Jesus Christ. I'm going to pray, and we're going to close the service here this morning. And I'm going to ask you just to take your sheets and put them underneath your seats, because I want a really quiet, reflective time for just a moment here. This is a powerful concept that we need to get and have some time to reflect quietly. It's very important. Maybe you walked into this place today and you've never experienced the love of God. God was always some distant concept or something that you didn't know if was true. Or maybe you think God is real, but you just hate him because you think he's responsible for all the bad things that have happened in your life. As a pastor and one that has been charged with the responsibility of proclaiming the gospel of Jesus Christ, for every hurt and abuse and bad thing that has happened in your life, I am sorry. And I encourage you to not lay God responsible for what he did not do. Jesus Christ provided the way to deal with and to defeat these evil powers that are at work within this world, bringing people down, causing hurt, causing the impetus behind all the abusive things that happen within this world, all the poverty, all the sickness, all these things, the wars. Jesus Christ wants to see those things destroyed. He wants to give every single person the opportunity to experience new life by having their sins forgiven, by being filled with the power of the Holy Spirit, to experience his baptizing power in your life, to have your belief in Jesus Christ as the Savior of the world. He wants to do that today. He wants to do that for you. He wants to do that for me. And for anyone that will simply walk in through the welcome sign under the door of his spiritual home. Let's just take a moment, just a few moments of silent reflection on what God has offered us because of the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Father, I pray for every single person that's here. I pray for anyone that is going through a sense of hardship and difficulty in their life right now. I pray, Lord, will you come and touch their lives? Repair things and mindsets that have been so bruised and broken that there's an inability to trust or to even think straight anymore because of the brokenness. Lord, I ask that you begin to touch and heal each person. I pray physically, Lord, for those who have injuries, that right while we're here in this place, whether it's bad knees or backs or broken things, that things would begin to be repaired. And I ask for that, Lord, in the name of Jesus Christ. I pray for those, Lord, who have been going through sickness and illness, can't seem to shake it. Holy Spirit, will you come and will you touch each person? Will you bring a refreshing and a renewal within each body, bringing about the life that you have promised? I ask for that, Lord, in Jesus' name. I ask that you do this for your people here and now. In Jesus' name, amen. Just before we close and we'll sing a final chorus or whatnot, Rob, I'll ask you. He's coming, all right? Just before we do that, some of the most amazing things that happen in this world, they don't typically hit media because they don't always know how to handle it. A few weeks ago, we had someone that came into this church full of arthritic pain, having arthritis pain for a long time. No one touched them, no one prayed over them. Just simply while we were singing, they were instantly healed from their pain. We have seen so many people over the years. We had one lady that was carried in one morning during morning prayer session a number of years ago. She was carried in, she couldn't walk. We prayed over her, she walked out with no pain. A number of years ago, right at Easter season, we took a group of students down to the hospital wing in Toronto. And right outside my Mount Sinai Hospital, I still remember the person in a wheelchair with an entire body cast because they'd been in a car accident. And we took a group of students, about 50 students, and I'm walking along the road, and we walked up to those people that were just out being sunning themselves, and we prayed for one of these people that's in a full body cast, and they got up and walked, and they threw all the things off. That same weekend, there was a young lady with cerebral palsy that had never walked in her life, and there was a group of grade 8 students who spent half an hour praying with her. I'm the pastor, and I left after 5 minutes saying, okay, I'm just going to keep going. I came back, and they were still praying with her, and this little girl got up and walked and ran and spoke properly, and I saw the power of that. And those things should be front page. But people don't, even if they hear them or even if they see them, they say, well, people will think I'm crazy. People won't believe it. I have been with so many students and so many adults that have seen these miracles happen. And do they happen every time I ask for them? No, but they do happen. And so let's stop pretending that there is not power in God, because there is. Our nation needs to know the powerful encounters of Jesus Christ, to see his Holy Spirit transform people from the inside out, to see their eyes open and their mindsets change. They need to see a shift, and they can. But it starts by believing that he is real. And some of you are on that edge here today. And so I'll get you to take those papers out that I ask you to place under the seat. And Rob, will you come to the front at this point? And where it says salvation prayer, we can all read this out loud. And if this is something that you believe, and today is a day that you're asking in faith, by God hearing these words, if they are spoken from your heart, the Bible says you will cross from death to life, from judgment to freedom, and to life everlasting. If you believe these words, we can all say them out loud, but it depends on your heart. It's not just some profession. It says this. Let's pray it together. Lord Jesus, I need you. Thank you for taking my place by dying on the cross for my sins. I open the door of my life and receive you as my Savior and Lord. Thank you for forgiving my sin and giving me eternal life. I ask that you lead, teach, and fill me with the Holy Spirit. Change me into a person who represents you well. In Jesus' name, amen. Let me tell you, if that's the first time that you've ever asked Jesus Christ to come and be the Lord and Savior of your life, from this moment on, everything changes. The Bible says that in heaven, angels celebrate, a massive party happens because one person who is under the bondage of sin has been forgiven and brought into new life. And that is what is going on here. For those of us who have known Jesus Christ for a number of years, I was 6 years old when I got on my knees and I called Jesus Christ and asked him to be my Lord and Savior. I was in grade 8 when he called me into full-time ministry. And those things are so powerful in my mind, I can still see them and feel them today. May this morning's emphasis on the resurrection be just a renewal for you who have known Jesus for a long time, remembering how powerful and how real he is, and that he changes lives today.